We are mostly live and completely local. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Cue the music. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Ron Van Dam. Hi. Hey. How you doing? Good to be with you on this fine, beautiful day. Look at the size of this day. How beautiful outside. It's clear and there's not a cloud in the sky. Oops, there's one. Sorry, lied. There's two clouds. Look, three clouds. Oh, man. Got to calm down. I got nuts in my teeth. Which, how did that happen, Ron? Now I'm talking about almonds. I'm eating almonds. What are you talking about? What do you think I said? Well, you said you had nuts in your teeth, and I'm assuming that, hey, what's up with that? Cut it out. I'm starting this podcast a little late today because this morning at 7:20 a.m., I went to the doctor for my checkup, follow-up, throw-up kind of visit. That's the visit where they call you 3 days ahead of time and tell you if you don't show up, they may charge you. They may take your home. They may repossess your car. Or we may examine you and give you phony results. So you better show up on time. To which I always say, well, if you don't see me at my scheduled time, then you have to pay me. I need free doctor's care for 6 months. And if I need a kidney, you have to give me yours. That's the arrangement. You don't dare charge me for not showing up. Anyway, good morning. So I guess I'm fine. I have no idea. I really don't know. They went through a list of things that I should watch out for, including people who annoy me. They said, watch out for those people. I said, hey, I try to, but sometimes one or two slip by. And they checked my blood pressure, wondered why I was still alive at this point. My cholesterol, which I suppose I have some, and other stuff, blood sugar. Yeah, there's sugar in there. Yeah, there's sugar in there. Some sugar got into my blood somehow. I don't know how that happened. Hey, how did that sugar get in my blood? Not too sure. Maybe there is a small leak somewhere. Don't get it. No, I try to avoid sugar as much as I can. Seriously. If I see sugar, I won't talk to it. I don't want it. I don't even like sugar anymore. So, because I do wedding videos on weekends sometimes when business is good. And they'll have the desserts. They'll come out with the cakes, the wedding cake, and all these pinafores. Is that what you call them? Pinafores? I don't know. These tiny little cakes that are wrapped in paper on the bottom. You know what I mean? The fancy little crinkled paper on the bottom. And they're very sweet. And there's a lot of chocolate on them. And then sometimes they'll have a chocolate fountain. Who came up with this? Somebody with a death wish. Maybe it was a Mengele or something who said, well, we can't kill the Jews anymore, but we can certainly bring them down. Let's make a chocolate fountain. And this lures you because people love fountains, you know, like water fountains, fountain of youth, soda fountains. People love fountains, water fountains. Ugh, beautiful. Chocolate fountain, why not? Why not? Certain things don't work, like pus fountains probably wouldn't happen. That probably wouldn't work too well. Placenta fountains wouldn't work too well. Fountain of Death would probably be a turnoff for a lot of people. But Chocolate Fountain's not bad. It spews chocolate. And you take other sugary things like wafers and sometimes some fruit or maybe a cookie, and you stick it in the chocolate fountain. You don't do it with your hands because that's unsanitary, although they're unsanitary ideas anyway. You're supposed to put it at the end of a fork and then stick it in the fountain that way. To be honest with you, if it's not my personal fountain and no one else is touching my fountain, that's okay. But as soon as we're doing a communal fountain situation, fountain idea goes downhill for me. Ain't going to happen. But I stay away from the chocolate fountain. I stay away from the sweet desserts, the cakes. I haven't had ice cream in about a month now. And when I did, I didn't have huge amounts. Ice cream is wonderful. No matter how you're feeling, no matter how bad you're feeling, you could be Robin Williams on the verge of suicide, and I mean that in a kind way, and have some ice cream, and pretty much you're good for at least a couple hours. That's what I'm saying. That's how good ice cream really is. It's got that sugar high that we all need. Hey, we all do something, you know? I don't know any Mormons, nor any tabernacle, nor any choirs. But, hell, if you don't smoke, and you don't drink, and you don't eat ice cream, and you don't eat sweet stuff, and you don't eat fried foods, how do you live? How do you live? What is your vice? Is it sex? What? What is it? Strip club, sex, sugar, smoking, drinking? What is it? Gotta have something. And people that have absolutely no vices whatsoever, I question their legitimacy as human beings. It's like, were you mastered in a genetic laboratory? How do you not have any of these vices? How can you not crave something that is probably not good for you? Because that's what the world is. Wasn't it Adam and Eve? I mean, I'm not into the Bible thing because I think I read it once. I was on a train trip and the train was going to be late, so I opened up the Bible and read it. Some good stories, very humorous in places. Got a good chuckle. Seriously, I'm only kidding about that because I don't want to offend anybody who reads the Bible. It's a fine, fine book. A little short on pictures, but otherwise it's a nice book. But anyway, isn't there the Adam and Eve? I mean, I'm not up on this stuff. I'm sorry. Isn't it Adam and Eve? Weren't they in a garden of temptation? Wasn't there a temptation of some sort? I mean, even that displays how we are tempted in life of the fruit of evil. Anyway. I don't know why I'm talking about this. I don't know what I'm talking about. There's a lot on the table that is very shaky here. There's no point to any of this. I've wasted about 10, 12 minutes of your time. It's been 8 minutes. It's not even been that long, so it's not so bad. Not the end of the world, really. Oh, man. Oh.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome back to the program. How you doing? Good to see you on this fine day. By the way, in case you didn't know what day it was, this is Monday, September 22nd. But of course, with this podcasting thing, it can be any day, any time of the year. You're welcome, because there's not really much current or uncurrent about what I talk about. What I do pretty much, my job as a court jester here is to stimulate your little face and to give you a little bit of fun during the day with my dry wit and sarcasm and lovely personality. And I talk about the things that we all go through in everyday life. Sometimes you'll agree with me, sometimes you'll disagree, sometimes you'll think it's frustrating, sometimes you think it won't. But it's just part of what we all go through, pretty much. And sometimes we'll talk about issues, and sometimes not. Trojan brand condoms. What? Where's that coming from? Trojan brand condoms is going to sponsor an interview that we're doing tomorrow on Tuesday the 23rd. And it's a result of a 2014 survey on dating and intimacy. And when you know, the word intimacy is really pretty much sex, is pretty much what intimacy is. Are you wearing an intimate garment? Can't say that word. Intimate means, are you wearing a sex thing? You know, that's really what that means. Intimate, your intimate parts, kind of, you know what I'm saying? So, Matthew is going to join us, Matthew Hussey. He's a TV personality, New York Times bestselling author. He's written the books Get the Guy and Love Life, and he hosts the NBC show Ready for Love. He did host it in 2013. He's come up with this survey with Trojan brand condoms about dating and intimacy. Fascinating. That's tomorrow on the program. It's a Chicky Bow Wow show, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, it's tomorrow. Also, tomorrow on the show. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's not tomorrow. That's Wednesday. Sorry. No, that's not. Wait a minute. That's on Thursday that we're doing that. Sorry. Thursday is when we're doing that with the Hussey guy. The Hussey guy talks about sexual intimacy. That's Thursday. Tomorrow on the show, this is so damn confusing. Tomorrow on the show, it's Tory Tuesday. Tory Wainwright is scheduled to be with us here for a live tete-a-tete or tit-a-tit. She has a tit and I have a tit. They appear different, but we both have them. So tomorrow, four tits and a Jew. Actually, it's two tits and a Jew. Tomorrow... Oh, man, you got to get a life. I'm serious. And it's not just me. You do, too. Don't you? Yeah. That's tomorrow on the show. And then Wednesday, we're live at Charlie's Restaurant on Belmont Street in the city of Brockton. Charlie's Restaurant is at the entrance to Brockton High School. So join us there for breakfast. We start the podcast at 7:30 a.m. I know. 7:30 a.m., and we're there usually until about a quarter to 9 o'clock, something like that, and then we're out of there. But that's Wednesday. That's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, September 24th. David Casella usually joins me, and private detective Mark Schipetta. David Casella is an attorney. Mark Schipetta is a private eye. I am simply window dressing. I'll be dressing a window in pants. So that's Wednesday. Come down and join us. We're not paying for your breakfast. You pay for yourself. But it's very, very inexpensive. The breakfast special, which is two eggs any style you can come up with, pretty much. Toast of any kind, breakfast meat, bacon, ham, sausage, home fries. Holy crap. Guess how much? $3.59. Are you serious? It's true. Let me play the thing, because really that's really the right way to do this.
Have you been to Charlie's Diner and Restaurant yet? Let me tell you what you're missing. Open 7 days a week from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., Charlie's is serving the best home-cooked meals. Start your day with a gourmet omelet or homemade corned beef hash, or check out the breakfast special.
Yeah.
From 6 to 8 a.m., you get two eggs any style, toast and home fries, and your choice of ham, bacon, or sausage, and it's just $3.59. That's fantastic. Or come in for their dinner menu, featuring dinners under $10, fresh seafood, soups and chowders, hearty salads, burgers and sandwiches, pasta, steak, and chicken entrees, all great values, all cooked and served to order. Charlie's is family-owned and has been delighting the South Shore since 1993, and now they're conveniently located at 708 Belmont Street in Brockton, Route 123, right at the entrance to Brockton High School. Call them at 508-580-9844. Charlie's Diner and Restaurant, your new favorite place for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Welcome back to the program, kids. It's the Ron Van Dam Show here, your radio on demand podcasting, Metro South podcasting, also heard on the Podbean, the iTunes, the TuneIn Radio, and other outlets such as the inbrockton.com and all other kinds of crazy things. So thank you for being with us. Tell your friends about it. The more this show grows in listenership, the more I would be inclined to continue to do it. So let's have a party every morning in my mouth. I do this podcast a Monday through Friday, usually posted to the podcast site by 9 a.m. Today's about an hour late because I went to the doctor. I'm not good at blood pressure because I'm not good at going to doctors. I don't like going to doctors. I have this nightmare that I'm going to go to a doctor's appointment someday, and I hope this doesn't come true for anybody, and they look at your blood work and they go, oh my God, you're going to die. And they don't do it yet, but they take my blood pressure, and this is in the back of my mind. It's like, what are you going to discover on me? Like, Ron, you've got some kind of large growth coming out of your face. Isn't that my nose? Oh yeah, okay. You know, that kind of thing. So I get nervous, and then they take my blood pressure, and it's high because I'm, like, not happy. I'm not, you know, it's not like you go to the doctor's office and there's mood lighting and some light jazz in the background. You know, and the nurse practitioner comes in with a glass of wine. How are you? How are you, Mr. Van Damme? How would you like your Merlot? Would you like it toasted? What? Toasted Merlot? What are you talking about? Here's a little wine for you. May I nibble at your neck? That would relax. You see, that would relax. May I draw your bath? Here I have a piece of paper and a pencil. I'm drawing a bath. This is what they look like. That would be relaxing. But instead, it's the bright fluorescent lights, no offer of food whatsoever, a decent-looking nurse practitioner who tries to make this all very palatable. Put your arm in a cuff, stick your finger in this, stick this in your mouth. I mean, seriously. And now relax, I'm going to take your blood pressure. It's, whoa, hold it, man. You don't quite understand what's going on here in the world of Upset Ron. And by the way, I waited here for like 20 minutes to half an hour, and that was a short wait. I've waited like over an hour for the doctor to walk into that tiny little waiting room in which I feel like I've been imprisoned and I've done something horribly wrong to somebody, and my parole officer is going to come in and whip the shit out of me. That's what I feel like going to a doctor's office. So don't tell me. And then you're wearing a white coat. All these people are wearing white coats. It's like, you know, that's like a mental institute garb, you know, like, come on, can't you just wear street clothes and put a little stethoscope around your throat in order to make you look official? I mean, otherwise, what's with this white lab coat? You're going to get blood on you or something? You're going to get your clothes dirty? What are you doing that you would get your clothes so dirty? I mean, you're not sticking your dress up my ass to check my prostate. You're wearing the rubber gloves for that. So, like, why do you have to wear this lab coat like you're going to discover the cure for cancer while I'm at the appointment? I mean, what's that about? So that makes me nervous, quite obviously. Not a happy time, not in a happy place. And when they're taking my blood pressure, I try to mentally relax. I picture waterfalls and chocolate fountains. I picture relaxing things. But I can't think of anything that's relaxing at that point because I'm not relaxed. And then they go, oh, your blood pressure is a little high. Really? I can't figure that out. I mean, this is about as normal a situation as a person could be in, sitting in a doctor's office waiting for you to read to see if the blood is flowing through my body properly. That's no tension there. Sure. It's like a test I can study for. All right, I gotta go to the doctor's tomorrow. I gotta make sure that I study for my blood pressure test. I don't want to get rattled or anything. So, the doctor looks at me. He says, "You look tired. Did you sleep last night?" And oh, good. There's a good start. I look tired, which means you look like shit. That's what that means. It doesn't mean that I look like shit. And that's pretty much what she's saying to me. I have a female doctor, wonderful lady. I don't care if it's a man or a woman, when they see you and they say, hey, how you doing? You look like shit. You know, that is not a good sign. And when it's your doctor saying that, it's a worse sign. Do you ever go to a store or something and you're buying some, some dog food or something, or, you know, because you got something for dinner? Or you're buying some Tic Tacs, you know, and you go up to the counter and the cash register girl looks at you and goes, all right, anything else? Oh, man, you look like shit. They don't do that. But I feel like that's what they really mean. Doctor has no problem saying that, you know. I should say that to them. Hi, Mr. Van Dam. You look tired? Yeah, but you look like shit, so I guess I'm all right. I've said that word like 4 times in a row, and I usually don't talk like that. I do apologize. And if there's little kids listening to the show, that's just wrong of me. But I never say bad words. Ever. I never, ever, 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 ever say bad words.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
All right, so much for that. That didn't work out too well. You drive a General Motors car? Hey, good choice. Here's the deal. General Motors is saying that more than 220,000 cars, that's 250,000 cars pretty much, are at risk of doing something that probably you would not like to happen to your car. These cars are at a risk of spontaneously catching fire. I mean, you know, that's just not a good feeling. It's recalling the Cadillac XTS models from 2013 to 2015, which means those are the expensive cars, and also the Chevrolet Impala models from 2014 and 2015, because the brake pads can stay engaged even when they're not in use, and that could cause a fire. General Motors said it will notify owners and repair their cars for free. Well, you bet your ass you're going to repair the cars for free. What do you mean? I'm going to notify the owners and charge them all $2,000 to repair the problem of the car that we made that will spontaneously burst into flames. Hopefully you won't be in it at the time. Have a good day. Enjoy your drive. Of course they're going to repair the cars for free. How could you even say that? How could you even think otherwise? Here's a problem with recalls. Seriously, man. Here's a problem with recalls. They don't compensate the driver and the car owner for the trouble they go through to get the cars repaired. I don't know how long it takes to repair this thing. To repair brake pads or to have brake pads installed, you have to take the tires off and work on the car. It's usually like an hour to 2 hours, probably 2 hours to do whatever they do to this car. That's 2 hours out of your life, man. And you probably have to wait because there's probably a lot of damn people at General Motors dealerships who are bringing their cars in for this thing, I assume, because it sounds like a fairly serious thing. You know, your airbag might go off, or the seatbelt might become disengaged, or the check engine light would come on even if it's the engine's okay. These are things that, well, the airbag thing I couldn't live with. But, you know, but to say you're in your car and all of a sudden your car could spontaneously burst into flames, that's like a lot. That's a lot. Because a car bursting into flames would be like explosion, perhaps, or even so, something I don't want to go through. You know, you're on the highway and all of a sudden your car bursts into flames. No. So that's traumatic. So everybody's going to probably bring their cars in if you have those particular models. But they should compensate you for your time lost. You have to bring the thing in. You can't go anywhere because you don't have a car. They're not going to give you loaner cars for 220,000 people. I don't know how they handle that, but it's the inconvenience. So why would I want to buy a car that's going to inconvenience me to that extent? And this isn't the first problem with GM, as much as they're lovely, lovely people. There haven't been any reports of accidents or injuries, by the way, caused by the issue of the spontaneously combustible cars. But they want to make sure that there aren't any. This recall is one of several for General Motors just this year. The company went into like a recall crisis in February. About 800,000, which is over three quarters of a million of General Motors small cars were recalled due to faulty ignition switches, which, and this is pretty bad, could shut off the engine during driving. By the end of June, it issued a total of 45 recalls. That's a lot. Involving 28 million cars worldwide. 28 million cars were recalled. Simply by the end of June. Wow. So, okay. How do I buy a car? I actually try to check and see how many recalls this particular car has had. I really do. Because if there's one thing, I mean, if something wrong with the car, my car, I'll bring it in. I'll get it fixed because I need to have a car. I need to get around because I live in this particular century. And it's a necessity for where I live. I can't walk anywhere. That's okay. I mean, it's horrible. It's okay. Maybe I got a lemon. Maybe that's, I don't know. But for a company to manufacture a car and then turn around and say, oh, we screwed that up, something bad. Everybody's car is like dangerous now. I can't accept that. I cannot accept that in my mind. I know cars are complicated things. I can understand problems with the car's computer system or entertainment system or something like that. But see, everything's computerized. That's the problem. These cars shut off because of something wrong with the ignition. I think there's something wrong with the computer, which commands the ignition. I don't know, because I don't work for a car company. I don't look like I do I? So I don't know. But I can't handle that. I don't want to get involved in a car company that makes the cars wrong to begin with. You can't sell me a product that maybe you didn't know it was wrong. Maybe you did know it was wrong. I don't know, but I don't have the time for that. You should be coming out to my house and fixing the car in my driveway, literally, so that you totally, totally don't bother me. And you come out here at like 6-7 o'clock at night after I've come home from work. Let's say I had a job. It's funny. And, you know, I'm in the privacy of my home and you can fix a car in my driveway. I don't have to take it anywhere because you fucked up. I didn't do anything wrong. You sold me something that could cause me injury. Man, you're coming to my house to fix it. Why should I even bother driving to you? Why would I go to you when you caused the problem? That's stupid. S-T-O-P-O-T. Stupid. All right, so that's in the news. All right, here's what I really wanted to talk about today. In my shortened version today because I'm running late. Maybe we should have some type of musical interlude here before I get into this.
Morning. Today's forecast,
All right, there's your musical interlude. Okay. Here's my concern. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Pay attention to me. We have a lot of wars going on right now, and they're not necessarily the conventional wars. We have the war on ISIS, which coincides with the war on Al-Qaeda, which groups together to the war on terror, which is a difficult war because this is not a country. This is a group of people all over the world. That makes it very difficult. It's a new challenge. Go for it. We tend to screw all these things up, so keeping the fingers crossed on that one. We have a war on drugs. We have a war on immigrants crossing the border. We have a war on cancer. We have a war on Ebola. Got a lot of wars going on. That's just the start. Got a war on poverty. Got a war on homelessness. And I we're not even winning that one. These people don't even have homes, and we're losing that war. But here's a war that we're not taking on, which could annihilate us eventually without question. And that's the war on pollution. Because there is climate change. Here we go now, right? And I don't think this is a political matter, although some people turn it into a political matter. Democrats usually think that their climate change is really taking place and everything is really changing in a bad way. And Republicans tend to think you're full of crap. It's all about the money. Talk to me when there's a dip in the stock market or when I lose my investments other than that, or my business isn't doing well. Other than that, I don't want to hear about your silly sky and your silly earth, your silly planet still here, still spinning. What's your problem? I don't think that's an across-the-board attitude, although that's the way you could characterize it sometimes. This should be an issue that has nothing to do with politics whatsoever, but it does. Because what this has to do with are people that have money and make money and don't want anybody to stop making money. And it's all due to this climate change problem. First of all, the Earth is changing. You can disagree with me, and many of you probably do, and you can be as in denial or have your head in the sand as much as you want, or be one of those people until the Earth starts breaking up and cracking and all this kind of stuff. I'm not paying attention to it. Well, guess what? It is doing that. It is. And you still may not believe me. It is every year getting colder in the in our area and in the central part of the country and in other parts of the world. The poles, the North Pole, South Pole, are getting warmer. There's a shift going on. That means that the polar ice caps are starting to melt. Water levels rising. Yeah. There are other parts of the world where there's no water whatsoever. Things are kind of getting other than what we're used to. Our winters for a while, hopefully just for a while, but many people think it's going to stay this way and get worse. Our winters will be colder and there will be snowier and they'll be more severe. Our storms will be more severe. They'll be heavier. That's for you, by the way. You can take it in the other room. Our storms will be more severe. You can believe that or not believe that. California right now is going through an incredible drought. They've been going through a drought for years, but it's getting worse. If you have the time, go online on your international highway of information, whatever you call that thing, and take a look at California now as opposed to a few years ago. And witness that the whole state is drying up like a mushroom, man. I mean, it's literally drying up. The waterbeds are gone. The bridges, you can see the pillars into the ground, which used to be underwater, considerably underwater, are now above water. And just like, it's almost like no point to the bridge. It's that bad. Many celebrities have taken the cause to a higher level by bringing their message to Congress, to subcommittees, and to other important venues in the world to explain to them that you have got to do something about this, to the point where we can't change the planet. All we can do is slow this process down. It's a serious thing. It's more serious than any other issue that we face, because it's like life and death for us. It's torture and suffering as opposed to not. It's the biggest issue ever. There isn't anything without life on this planet. And we're destroying species. And I know people are going, oh, Ron, we've heard this before. Stop it. You little powder puff guy from you hippie. It's beyond that, dude. California's drying up. And there is an actual water problem there now after so many years of drought. Sure, it rains a little bit here and there, although it hasn't for quite some time now there. But it rains a little bit, but it comes nowhere close to filling in what has already been dried up. It just makes things a little wet, but it doesn't fill it in because they're so far behind the gun. And it's a scary thing. And many celebrities are actually saying, you got to reduce your water consumption because there is no water. Literally, in California, it's a huge problem. There is no water. These are issues that we've never faced before. Greater issues than everything else that I mentioned before this. And the simple answer, of course, is that, well, it's a worldwide concern because one country can't do it for everybody else. The planet can still go to pot. It doesn't matter. But we continue. I know. Here you go. Listen to me say this. We continue to pollute when God, if that's where you're going, or the master of creation, whatever, gave us this beautiful spinning planet, which is awesome. And because of our greed and our capitalism worldwide, we have destroyed it in small increments to the point where we didn't know we were doing it. We didn't think it was going to be a big deal. We drill into this beautiful planet. We suck the life out of this beautiful planet. We take the skies and the atmosphere and we put shit into it on a daily basis. We started doing that with the Industrial Revolution, and we've stepped it up ever since, which hasn't been all that long, really, in the scheme of things of this planet life. But the climate is changing, and our ceiling, the atmosphere, our ceiling needs some major repair, which we don't know how to fix. So we have to stop destroying the ceiling. The ceiling is falling apart. It's getting too thick is what it's doing. It's changing the temperature of the planet, and it's doing everything that's nasty to it. It's changing the levels of our oceans. It's affecting our water supply. Someday, if truth be told, will the greatest commodity on this planet be gold? No, it'll be water. People will fight for water. They will kill for water. You need water to survive. It will be that precious. We're starting to see that in California. Who knows where that's going to go? So my point to you is to make aware of, just be aware of this and start doing something. I don't know. Start making your congressperson react to this kind of stuff. It's just so important. I know that we thrive on oil. We heat our homes with it. We run our cars on it. We do everything with it. And this is a worldwide situation. But There are other ways of doing it. We burn fossil fuels. We do fracking. We drill into the ground and we fracture the ground as we're doing it. They tell you it's safe. They're telling you that so that they can do it. People make tons and tons of money off of these large, huge companies. You know that. And they'll be damned if they are going to stop the flow of money for these huge companies in order so that you can get your power for free from the sun, from the ocean. The sun is an incredible source of energy, and it's natural, and it's there, and it's for us to have. The oceans are powerful, massive energy sources, naturally, and we do very little of anything with that force. We don't harness it for our power use. We're just a bunch of stupid heads. And it's on us, because those that wish to make money and continue to make money will not allow that flow to stop, will not allow the fossil fuel burning and the oil to stop flowing. It would kill the industry. You need to replace the industry with something else, but they will not let you do that. Tens of thousands of activists walked through Manhattan on Sunday in New York City, warning that climate change is destroying the earth, and stride with demonstrators around the world who urged policymakers to take quick action. Starting along Central Park West, most came on foot, others with bicycles and walkers, and some even in wheelchairs. Many more costumes, and many wore costumes and marched to drum beats and to music. One woman actually played the accordion. Bert Garstoff, 81 years old, he says, "We're going to lose our planet in the next generation if things continue this way." He was in a wheelchair. He had first heard about global warming in 1967, when no one was paying much attention to it. Organizers said more than 100,000 marched in New York, including actors Mark Ruffalo, I don't know, and Evangeline Lilly. They were joined in Midtown Manhattan by United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, former Vice President Al Gore, and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. On Tuesday, more than 120 world leaders will convene for the United Nations Climate Summit, aimed at galvanizing political will for a new global climate treaty by the end of 2015. Mayor de Blasio of New York said, "My sense is the energy that you see on the streets, the numbers that have been amassed here and in other cities around the world, will show that something bigger is going on, and this UN summit will be one of the ones where we look back and say it was a difference maker, hopefully. Climate change is a defining issue in our time, and there is no time to lose, because there is no plan B, because we don't have a planet B. We have to work to galvanize our action. The New York March was one of a series of events held around the world to raise awareness about climate change. In London, organizers said 40,000 marchers participated, while a small gathering in Cairo featured a huge art piece representing wind and solar energy. In Rio de Janeiro, marchers at Ipanema Beach had green hearts painted on their faces. They always take a little too far. The point is, kids, that those that stand there and say, "Oh, you're crazy. This planet is just, this is a strong planet. You can't hurt this planet. You can't take that chance," because, as the guy said, you got no plan B. This is about the only planet we got going. There is no other. This is it. It's life and death. If you can't repair the planet, you can certainly stop making it worse. And that, in essence, is the most important thing, because look out the window, that all may not be there someday if we don't at least pay attention to it. And that's important stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today. I hope you have a wonderful day. I'll be back tomorrow. Tori Wainwright will be joining me as we have some lively and crazy funky conversation. Until then, I wish you peace.